Well, here goes. Here goes. Yeah, this is my first sermon as your pastor, and I suspect you know that. To be honest with you, this was a really difficult sermon to write. For one thing, the last person I saw in this pulpit was Dave Barry. And he is a hard act to follow. But even if you weren't the kind of amazing congregation that gets to welcome celebrity authors into your sanctuary, writing this sermon still would have been something of a challenge for me. I've always found myself agreeing with pastors who say that writing a sermon is like flying an airplane. Not that I've ever flown an airplane. But they tell me that the hardest part of flying an airplane is the takeoff and the landing, the beginning and the ending, the introduction and the conclusion. And there's a part of me that feels like this whole sermon is an introduction, the beginning of what promises to be a great number of sermons spanning many years together. And so how does one start such a task? How do we get these wings aloft? Well, let me begin with a word of gratitude. I have felt so welcomed by you. You know, this morning when I was getting ready for celebration, I went into my study, and there hanging on the window was all of the papers that you wrote down your yes votes when I was voted. It was they were arranged like a group of Tibetan prayer flags across my window, and I am so grateful for that. It was really, really beautiful. The people of Montclair Presbyterian Church have given me and Ann and our kids a warm embrace. Besides being kind enough to offer me a job, you are helping us find a place to live, and you have even found a spot for each of my many, many books. You have made us feel at home. You have given us a place in the MPC family, and for that I am more grateful than my words ever could express. The warmth with which you have welcomed me and my family and my books has felt like a confirmation to me that the move from Foothill Presbyterian Church in San Jose to Montclair Presbyterian Church in Oakland is a natural next step on my personal spiritual journey. I am ready to be in a congregation that is unafraid of challenging ideas and cutting-edge theological concepts. I'm happy to be in a community of faith that is proud to fly the pride flag in front of its sanctuary. I am excited to practice my faith at the place where spirituality and social activism intersect, especially in a city as diverse and vibrant as is Oakland. This is the right place for me, but 25 years ago, if you'd told me that I'd end up as the pastor of this congregation in this city, it would have come as a huge surprise. 25 years ago, I was attending an evangelical college, and I was something of a radical in that setting. But dearly beloved, that was Westmont in the 80s, not Berkeley in the 60s. And besides, I was convinced that God was calling me to do ministry in rural America. I attended Westmont's urban program, and my major was religious studies with an urban ministries emphasis. But the more I learned about urban life, the more I longed for the parts of California where at night you can still see the Milky Way. Well, here I am anyway, and it's a surprise. But if I have learned anything on the journey of my life, from my childhood in Mendocino to my life in Oakland by way of Santo Domingo and Santa Barbara and Princeton and Gonzales and San Jose, it is this. Our God is a God of surprises. After all, the kingdom of heaven is like a gardener who plants a mustard seed and then is surprised when a tree grows instead. This morning's lesson from Luke is a familiar parable to me, but it's one that I think most readers misunderstand. I don't know about you. I don't even know if the parable's familiar to you, but I know that I grew up reading this parable and others like it in Mark and Matthew, and I grew up thinking it was a lesson about how in God's realm, even small acts of faithfulness grow big and have a huge impact, just as the tiny mustard seed grows into a mustard tree. And that certainty, the idea that God makes use of small acts of faithfulness, It is an idea that one can find in the Gospels. In fact, the very next parable is a parable that tells that story. But I don't think that's the message in the parable of the mustard seed that grows into a mustard tree, because there is no such thing as a mustard tree. Mustard is a wispy annual plant, beautiful in the spring, and sometimes getting sort of bush-like, but it is not in any way a tree. When I first learned about mustard, I was serving a small rural congregation in Gonzales in the Salinas Valley, where mustard grows like a weed. The fact that mustard clearly was not a tree made me wonder about this passage, and so I read a couple of commentaries on the parable. And in those commentaries, I was assured that there is a mustard tree native to Palestine. But then I actually went to the Holy Land, and I visited a botanical garden that had growing in it every single plant mentioned in the Bible. And the mustard in that garden was the same mustard we had in Gonzales. In fact, the mustard in California was brought by the Spanish. It's Mediterranean mustard. It's the same mustard you find in the Bible. So despite what I learned in Sunday school, and contrary to what biblical scholars unschooled in Middle Eastern botany may write in their books, there is no mustard tree. Rather, the kingdom of heaven, the divine economy, the beloved community that stands in opposition to the evil associated with the Roman Empire and every subsequent empire and economy, including our own, the divine realm where Christ is sovereign, it is a place of surprises. A place where a gardener plants a seed expecting a flowering plant, but gets a tree instead. Surprise. So it turns out, the Gospels tell us to expect surprises in the life of faith. And that is a good thing for us to remember as we embark on our journey as pastor and congregation together. Because I suspect we will surprise one another as time goes by. And mostly those surprises will be good, but not always. And either way, it is important to remember that surprises are part of the deal. Part of the package, part of what happens when a congregation and its pastor do ministry together. And the surprises aren't just personal. You're not just going to be surprised about what you learn about me, or what I'm not just going to be surprised about what I learn about you. Surprises also happen in wonderful ways. Just a few days ago, I got a truly amazing surprise born of congregational ministry in the beloved community that is the kingdom of heaven. Several years ago, my wife, Ann, organized an effort to get a local farmer to sell produce once a week at our church in San Jose. And it was great. Each week, people from the congregation and from the community paid $25 and got more fresh fruits and vegetables than a family possibly could eat in 7 days. And once a week, as people stopped by the church to pick up their food, those who gathered shared recipes and stories, and in the process, we shared our lives. It was beautiful. It was, to me, exactly what church should look like. But it didn't last. The program started in the winter when it was a huge success. But as winter turned to spring and spring turned to summer, enthusiasm for the program waned. It turned out that most of the people interested in things like fresh organic produce, they all had their own gardens. And during the summer, everyone was growing their own tomatoes and zucchini, and the program petered out. And in the years since then, I have spent a lot of time grieving what I understood to be a failure in that program. It was so much fun, so healthy in so many ways. So what went wrong? How did I fail as a pastor? What was wrong with my congregation and my community that so excellent a ministry did not thrive? But then in January, I ran into a colleague, a pastor who grew up at Foothill Presbyterian Church. This pastor's mother was active in our food program, and he wanted to learn about what we had done to start the food program at Foothill. Well, I talked to him about what we had done at Foothill, and I told him about my sadness at the program's demise. And I really didn't think about that congregation much until on just last Tuesday, when I saw on this pastor's Facebook page that he's in the process of starting a similar program in Delaware, where he is employed by a small, struggling inner-city community where there is an epidemic. It's an inner-city church in a community where there is an epidemic of childhood obesity and where there is almost no access to fresh produce for the people who live in the community around his church. And so he and his congregation are going to try to change how children in the neighborhood eat by starting a food program using the model designed by Ann in San Jose. See, it turns out that all along, we were doing ministry in the beloved community. We thought we were planting a mustard seed. We thought we were supporting a local food economy in Silicon Valley. And we thought we were doing evangelism and building community on San Jose's east side. But we planted that seed in the soil of the kingdom of heaven. And it wasn't mustard at all. It was a tree that just may save the lives of children in Delaware who have been poisoned by an industrial food chain that supports the economics of empire rather than the well-being of God's children. Surprise. Now, as we embark on our relationship as pastor and congregation, let us remember that mustard seed. Let us always seek to work together in ways that will transform the world. Let us work for peace. Let us be committed to justice. Let us create and celebrate beauty. Let us be hospitable and welcoming. Let us be curious and let us be delighted by what we learn together. Let us glorify God and let us enjoy God, for our tradition tells us that that is our chief end. And let's have fun together. Fun simply for the pure enjoyment of being with each other. Let us sing and let us dance and let us laugh for all the joy that is inside of us. And when there is sorrow, let us comfort one another. Let us share each other's burdens and griefs. And when they need be, let us cry. But in all this work and worship and celebration and play, as we live together, living life to its fullest, let us remember this. Life in the beloved community is full of surprises. For the kingdom of heaven is like a gardener who intends to plant a mustard seed and is surprised when a tree grows instead. Let us make space for the Spirit to move among us and within us, and may the God of all surprises take the mustard seeds of our lives and of our loves and of our longings, and with that seed, may God establish a sacred grove of holy trees. Amen.